Again today, it's our privilege to welcome you to this assembly of the Church of Christ at Terre Haute. We continue to make our appeal to the Bible, the Word of God, and we encourage you to get your Bible and to search the Scriptures with us. I want to talk to us for just a few moments this morning about lessons from the death of Uzzah. And as a basis for this study, I'm reading from 2 Samuel chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. The Bible says, "Again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000, and David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal of Judah to bring up from thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts that dwelleth between the cherubims. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drave the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God, and Ahio went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps and on psalteries and on timbrels and on cornets and on cymbals. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error, and there he died by the ark of God." That's the reading of 2 Samuel chapter 6. Verses 1 through 7. It may be that that's the first time that you've read that story, or it may be that you've read that story many times before. But one reason that that story is recorded is for our benefit today. When Paul wrote New Testament Christians in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, he said, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning." What are some things that we can learn from the death of Uzzah? I recommend that when you study concerning Uzzah's death, that you not only read 2 Samuel chapter 6, but take time to read in 1 Chronicles chapters 13, 15, and 16, where we have an account of the death of Uzzah. And when you take the time to read those four chapters together, you get the complete story and there are a number of lessons that come from the death of Uzzah. Let me suggest to you, first of all, that as I read those chapters and studied those chapters, that the first lesson that was impressed upon my mind is the fact that people are not the standard. In 1 Chronicles chapter 13, beginning at verse 1, we read, "And David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds, and with every leader. And David said unto all the congregation of Israel, If it seem good unto you, and that it be of the Lord our God, let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere that are left in all the land of Israel, and with them also to the priests and Levites, which are in their cities and suburbs, that they may gather themselves unto us, and let us bring again the ark of our God to us. For we inquired not at it in the days of Saul." Now listen to verse 4. "And all the congregation said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people." You might underscore in your Bible that last statement in verse 4, "the thing was right in the eyes of all the people." You know, people are not the standard. And just because a thing may be right in the eyes of all the people does not make it right. In Proverbs 14 and verse 12, the wise man said, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Isaiah revealed the word of the Lord in Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, saying, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." You can't go by what is right in the eyes of all the people, because people are not the standard. The Bible, the Word of God, is the standard of what is right and wrong. In Psalm 33 and verse 4, the psalmist said, "The Word of the Lord is right." If a thing is right in the eyes of all the people, but it's not according to the Word of the Lord, then it's not right. It's wrong. And so I learned from the death of Uzzah that people are not the standard. The second thing I learned from Uzzah's death is that there is nothing new under the sun. According to 2 Samuel 6 and in verse 3, they set the ark of God upon a new cart. You might underscore those words, new cart. I suggest to you that the new cart was not a new idea. It was an idea that was introduced years earlier by the Philistines when they set about to move the ark of God. In 1 Samuel chapter 6 and in verse 7, we read where they said, "Now therefore make a new cart, and take two milk kine, on which there hath come no yoke, and tie the kine to the cart, and bring their calves home from them." How true are the words that were spoken in the book of Ecclesiastes by wise Solomon in chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, when he said, "There is nothing new under the sun. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, See, this is new? It hath been already of old time, which was before us." You see, the Lord's people really have never come up with anything new. They're setting the ark of God, and a new cart was done by the Philistines years prior. And you'll find where in 1 Samuel chapter 8 and in verse 5, they said, "Give us a king." But this was not a new idea either, because the nations around them had kings, and they wanted to be like the nations about them. In 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 19 and 20, they said, "Nay, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles." Sometimes there are those today, even among churches of Christ, who want something new and something different. But I suggest to you that there is nothing new under the sun. But also I learned from the events surrounding the death of Uzzah that God is strict. God says what He means, and He means what He says. When you read in 2 Samuel 6 and take time to read in 1 Chronicles chapters 13, 15, and 16, you might also want to take time to read in Numbers chapter 4. Because in Numbers chapter 4, the Lord gives instruction concerning the ark of God, its moving, and who it is that is to move it. And in connection with that, as recorded in Numbers 4 and in verse 15, the prohibition was announced that the ark was not to be touched. The Lord said in Numbers 4:15, "And when Aaron and his sons have made an end of covering the sanctuary and all the vessels of the sanctuary, as the camp is to set forward, after that the sons of Kohath shall come to bear it. But they shall not touch any holy thing, lest they die." You might underscore in your Bible, "not touch, lest they die." Now, do you think God really meant that? Do you think that when God said not to touch, that He meant not to touch? And do you think that if they touched that they would actually die? Somebody says, "I just can't imagine a God who would put somebody to death for touching something." Well, in the book of 1 Chronicles 13 and in verse 10, we read where Uzzah put his hand to the ark. And you remember what God said? "Not to touch, lest you die." What happened to Uzzah when he put his hand to the ark? The Bible says, "And there he died." Now, when God said, "Don't touch, lest you die," did He mean that? He meant that, didn't He? You see, that tells me that God is strict. That God pays attention to detail. You know, there are those sometimes today that just don't pay much attention to detail when it comes to doing God's Word. But when God gave instruction concerning the moving of the ark, in the process of that instruction, He said, "Don't touch it. And if you touch it, you're going to die." And for whatever reason, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark, and he died. You know, if God says not to do a thing, I best not do it. And in that case, when God said don't touch it, a fellow just needed to keep his hands off of it, didn't he? You know, there are those who talk long and loud about the fact that God is good, and we need to hear about the fact that God is a God of goodness. And we ought to be moved and motivated by the love of God and the grace of God. But you know, the Bible teaches that God is also a God of severity. And I'm afraid that some have so been impressed with the goodness of God and the grace of God, and they've not heard much about the severity of God, that they have misconceptions about God. They think that God wouldn't punish anybody. That God is not strict. That God will just about tolerate anything. But in Romans 11 and verse 22, Paul said, "Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God." And when we read about the death of Uzzah, we're beholding the severity of God. That God is strict and God is stern. That God means exactly what He says. And in light of that, I need to do exactly what He says, without adding to it or taking anything away from it. And so I learned from the circumstances surrounding the death of Uzzah that people are not the standard. I learned that there's really nothing new under the sun, and I learned that God is strict. What's something else I learned? I learned that good intentions do not justify wrong actions. You know, there's no doubt in my mind that Uzzah's intentions were good. There's nothing in the record that would indicate that his intentions were otherwise. Here they're moving the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of God, and as they set that on a new cart, the oxen shakes, and evidently it appeared that the thing was going to fall over. And it was perhaps a natural or instinctive thing almost to just to put your hand to it, to steady it, to keep it from falling over. But the end does not justify the means. And there may be a number of people today who have good intentions. But a thing is not right because I think it's right, or I think it's a good work, or because of the good that may come from it. Good intentions do not justify wrong actions. And there are those who strive to justify a multitude of things today on the basis of the good that may come from it. And there are those who have good intentions. But your good intentions do not justify, do not make right your wrong actions. No matter how good your intentions may be, no matter how much good you may think will come from a thing, if it's not right according to God's Word, then your good intentions will not override the Word of God and somehow make your wrong actions right. But also I learned from a reading of 1 Chronicles 13 in connection with Uzzah's death that a lack of knowledge destroys. The language of 1 Chronicles chapter 13, verses 11 and 12 would indicate that David did not know how to move the ark. The Bible says David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah, wherefore that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of God that day, saying, "How shall I bring the ark of God home to me?" So David brought not the ark home to himself to the city of David, but carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. And the ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house 3 months. And the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he had. Now it might come as some surprise that David did not know how to move the ark of God. For had he known, he would have had the right people doing the job, and they would not have set that ark on a new cart, but they would have carried it with the staves of the poles as they were instructed to do in Numbers chapter 4. You know, sometimes we hear today that what you don't know won't hurt you, or that ignorance is bliss. Those are misconceptions. Ignorance is no excuse. We can't say, "Well, I just didn't know." There's no excuse for not knowing. In the book of Hosea chapter 4 and in verse 6, the Lord said, "My people shall be destroyed for lack of knowledge." And on this case, in this instance, we find a man who was destroyed because he touched what God said was not to be touched, that was holy. We need to teach our children. Grandchildren need to be taught so they will know, because a lack of knowledge destroys. Another lesson I learned from these events is that time does not change the power or the force of God's Word. what God said about moving the ark back in Numbers chapter 4 was stated during the days of Moses. And you think about how much time has passed from Numbers chapter 4 to 2 Samuel 6, 1 Chronicles 13, 15, 16. A number of years have passed from the days of Moses to the time of David. But what God said back in Numbers 4 about moving the ark, who was to move it, and how it was to be moved, was just as applicable in the days of David as it was in the days of Moses when it was first spoken. They could not say, now that was said so long ago. And after all, things have changed and circumstances are different. We realize that at one time God wanted His people to move that with staves, but now we're going to set this on a new cart. We're going to move it a different way. Or they couldn't say, now, I wasn't there. That wasn't spoken directly to me. It wasn't said to me. They could not reason among themselves, saying, we need a new way of moving the ark. And yet there are those today who seem to think that the passage of time changes God's word. You think about how far removed we are from the New Testament. The days when God revealed His will to His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, and they wrote, Ephesians chapter 3. But what God said in the New Testament during the days of the apostles is just as applicable to us today as it was in the first century. There are those today who think we need a new hermeneutic. The word hermeneutic simply means science of interpretation. And sacred hermeneutics is the science of interpreting the Bible. There are those who say, we need a new way of looking at the Scriptures. We need a new way of interpreting the Bible. We recognize that in order for there to be Bible authority for a thing, there must be a direct statement or command. There must be an approved example or necessary inference. Those three were used by the apostles in Acts chapter 15 in settling controversy in the first century. But there are those today who are saying that that's outdated. That we need a new way of looking at the Scriptures because they realize that there's no authority for the things they want to do based upon those methods of establishing authority. And so we need a new hermeneutic. We need a new way of understanding the Bible. Instead of command, example, and inference, let's appeal to purpose, principle, and precedent. Those are words that have been put out by some. And there are those who are looking for something that's less restrictive. They don't want to look to the New Testament as a binding pattern, but look at it from the standpoint of it being a love letter. Time does not change God's Word. There are those who become dissatisfied with the name of the church. They think we need a new name. There are churches that for years have been recognized as churches of Christ that have now taken that sign and that name down from off their meeting places and put up a different name. Maybe just Christians meet here, or the family of God, or any other number of designations. And the thinking is that name Church of Christ may have a stigma attached to it. That name may turn some people off. And they become ashamed of that. And so they want a new name. I read in the book of Hebrews where Christ is not ashamed to call us His brethren. Why should we be ashamed of Him? Why should we be ashamed to wear His name? A Bible name. In Romans 16 and 16, Paul said, the churches of Christ salute you. But you know, instead of setting the ark on a new cart, another new cart is not just a new hermeneutic or a new name, but some are saying we need a new style of preaching. We need a new way of preaching. Instead of making our appeal to the Scriptures so much, we need to tell a lot of funny stories. And we need to occupy people's time with some human interest stories. And we ought not be so bold. After all, you're liable to upset somebody. And don't call any names. Don't call the denominations by name. You might offend somebody. I read where the apostles and our Lord, the prophets of the Old Testament, all just told it like it is, didn't they? Can you imagine being there on Pentecost when Peter said, "Ye, with wicked hands, have crucified and slain"? They didn't leave without knowing who the guilty were, what crime had been committed. They didn't leave without knowing what they needed to do about the sin that was in their life, or without being given the opportunity to make their life right with God. And just as Israel set the ark on a new cart, there are brethren today who are trying to bring in some new carts. And I suggest to you that time does not change God's word. That any argument that is made to effect change would not work then, and it will not work today. But then also I learned from these circumstances surrounding the death of Uzzah the importance of seeking God after the due order. Turn in 1 Chronicles chapter 15 and notice, beginning with me at verse 1, where David made him houses in the city of David and prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched for it a tent. Then David said, "None ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites, for them hath the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister unto him forever." And David gathered all Israel together to Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the Lord unto his place which he had prepared for it. And David assembled the children of Aaron and the Levites of the sons of Kohath. Now drop down to verse 12. And he said unto them, "Ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, both ye and your brethren, that ye may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel unto the place that I have prepared for it. For because ye did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the due order." So the priest and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel, and the children of the Levites bare the ark of God upon their shoulders with the staves thereon, as Moses commanded according to the word of the Lord. This is the second go-around, if you please. And it tells me that David learned some things from the death of Uzzah. He learned a lesson that you and I need to learn today, and that is the importance of seeking God after the due order. There were at least two things wrong with that first go-around, that first attempt at moving the ark. First of all, they had the wrong people doing it. I know that because David said in verse 13, "Because ye did it not at the first." And he's talking about the sons of Kohath. And when you go back to Numbers chapter 4, you'll find where the Lord specified that the sons of Kohath were to move the ark. And so they had the wrong people moving it. But they also were moving it the wrong way. They set it on a new cart. And notice in verse 15 that on this occasion, the children of the Levites bear the ark of God upon their shoulders with the staves thereon. And so the first time, they had the wrong people doing it the wrong way. Now they've got the right people doing it the right way. They're seeking God after the due order. And Numbers chapter 4 gave that due order. You know, God has an order for us today. And just as they had the law of Moses, and they could read God's order with respect to any observance, with respect to the moving of the ark, with respect to the keeping of the Passover. You and I have God's order for us today, and it's contained in the New Testament. It contains God's order for the church and for our lives. And there's no reason for us to be ignorant of it. There's no reason for us to not seek God after the due order. But let me suggest to you that if we fail to seek God after the due order, that there will surely be circumstances and consequences that come as a result, as surely as consequences came in Old Testament times when they failed to seek God after the due order. So there are a number of lessons, are there not, from the circumstances surrounding the death of Uzzah? I suggest that if we will have learned these lessons, then Uzzah's death will not be in vain for us. It's sad that he had to die. It's sad to read that story, but I'm thankful that God saw fit to record that and to reveal that, so that you and I can have the benefit of learning these valuable lessons from the death of Uzzah. And it's simple stories like these that show us the value and the benefit of the Old Testament. As Paul said in Romans 15:4, written for our learning. And Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, when he wrote to the church at Corinth, made mention of other Old Testament incidents and said in verse 6, now these things were our examples. And in verse 11, now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they're written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Maybe there are those who have not yet rendered obedience to the gospel of Christ today. You've not made your life right with God. We talked about that in a Bible study this morning. Why not take advantage of this opportunity to do that? You've heard the word of God. Do you believe? Are you willing to repent? Would you be willing to confess your faith this day before men? To say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We'll be happy to baptize you. Immerse you in water. There are garments available, towels, everything has been made convenient that you might make your life right with God today. That you might be baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins and be added to the church of our Lord. To take up your cross and follow after Jesus. Maybe you've already obeyed the gospel, but you've not been faithful. You've not been living soberly, righteously, and godly. You've not been faithful in worship or working for the Lord. You can make that right through repenting of that and asking for God's forgiveness and prayer. If we can help you today, make your life right with God. Why don't you come to the front, take a seat up here, and let us assist you. Whether you need to confess your faith and be baptized, or you need the prayers of the church on your behalf, we're here to help you. As together we stand and sing, won't you come?